keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again, move little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told you, I'm doing this.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio, once again with your host Nick Burnaby here on UCY.TV. Make sure you guys check out our website, theantimedia.org. Got a bunch of really hot articles that just came out today, and of course they're being censored by Facebook, but it's not a big deal. I'm also joined here by my co-host DB Schwartz. How you doing tonight, man?
Doing well, Nick. I'm looking forward to the Saturday and everything going on, and it's going to be kind of a culmination of a lot of things going on where people are kind of trying to band together and use state rights to salvage what's left of our country before they just kind of turn it into this giant company and start selling it off.
Yeah, exactly. What's left of it. And I think you were talking about the United We Stand Fest, which is going to be on Saturday.
Yep.
And I'm going to be going up Friday because I'm a featured personality at this thing. So I'm going to be on a few panels Friday night at a meet and greet thing, probably get all wasted after or something. But yeah, I'm going to be on the foreign policy panel at this event, which should be good because, you know, you guys know foreign policy is one of my strong points. And it should be pretty awesome. We're going to be able to rep the March Against Monsanto and just join together, man, because, I mean, you got Wu-Tang, you got Public Enemy, Immortal Technique, Ben Swan, Abby Martin. I mean,
well, what does it mean that Larry King's on here? Because this is a long-term pundit of the mainstream media. Is this guy turning his back and going Ron Paul now? Are we having a lot of people jump ship because they're starting to figure it out that if they're not in this big club of all these guys worldwide who control everything, then they know they're going to lose everything too when this reset happens, and they don't want to be, you know, part of this whole paradigm shift that's going on for the negative.
Yeah, I mean, it seems that way. I mean, it's getting to that point now where you got to kind of pick sides. And are you going to be silent like the majority of these Hollywood actors that voted for Obama when he does these injustice?
They're not, you know, silent, because we see what they're doing with their money. We saw the biggest move of California real estate ever last year, meaning people are starting to sell and move to Texas and other states that are more tax friendly and more centrally located for a variety of reasons. And we know this. So they're not being silent. They're just not telling anyone what's up. They know what's going to happen in the future. They have great advisors and they're getting prepared. Everybody should really look into what's going on with California real estate. And especially, Nick, if you've heard, and this should be something big at this United We Stand Festival, is that they want to split California into six states. Now, why is that? Where are they selling our assets to?
I mean,
China.
Yeah, I mean, who's getting all of our assets right now? China.
You know it. And eventually they'll try to enforce it if we don't go along with it. So I think that's where the crossroad we're at now.
Yeah, man. And, you know, none of this stuff is good news. You know, we see what's going on now with this work up to this World War III situation with all the stuff going on in Ukraine, and you know, the government keeps on saying that they're going to de-escalate the situation, while at the same time they keep moving troops into position. I mean, if that's a de-escalation, I mean, I don't know what an escalation would look like. I wrote this scathing article on this thing earlier. You guys can check it out at theantimedia.org and just look at some of this hypocritical nonsense that's coming out of not only the government but the mainstream media. And I mean, let's face it, the mainstream media is lockstep with the defense establishment, probably because, I mean, look at GE. They're part of the defense establishment. They also have interest in MSNBC. So, of course, they're going to kind of work the public opinion towards trying to be more friendly to this war stuff.
They can't even keep a handle on public opinion anymore. Now they need to have an officially recognized PR department, a.k.a. propaganda department, that they're going to come up with. United States Propaganda Department. Are people really that brain dead at this point that they don't get what's going on? They're going to have an officially funded propaganda department.
Yeah, and this stuff originally came into play in the I believe it was the 2013 National Defense Authorization Act, which we all know, the NDAA, which also sets the stage for suspending due process and all that stuff. But yeah, they basically propaganda was banned back in the 50s or something like that, and as of last year they re-legalized it, and now what we're starting to see is they're starting to put this stuff into play, and a guy in the House of Representatives introduced a bill which officially establishes a propaganda arm of the U.S. government, which basically says, hey, we need to establish this news agency, which is partially already existent, the Voice of America, which controls a lot of news stations and radio stations abroad. They also get pumped back here domestically as if it's actually journalism. But they're basically neoconservative talking points, why we need to go and bomb Iran and why we should go and start bombing Ukraine and why we should have gone into Syria. I mean, that's who these people are. That's who they already are. Now they're going to be even worse because now, according to this bill, their official mission statement is going to be to advance U.S. foreign policy objectives, and that's it. So basically,
what are those though? And what are those? And how does the State Department dictate what is in their best interest to us? They have to answer to somebody. So who do they answer to? And how do we dictate what's going to happen in this department when they're telling us what to think at every step and moment? So. Yeah, man, this is just it's past Orwellian at this point. The curtain's going to drop at any second, and when people see the ugly behind what's moving the inner workings of most things in the world, I don't know how they're going to react. Maybe with the panic that they've anticipated.
Yeah, that's the thing that's worrying, man. And like we talked about last week, we're only one false flag away from people. Because right now, the polling suggests that people are done with it. The people do not want to be involved in all these foreign engagements. The most non-interventionalist mentality ever recorded in these polling numbers are right now. So the people are like, look, get the hell out of Ukraine, get the hell out of Syria. We don't want nothing to do with it. We've got plenty of problems of our own. But all of that can change with one false flag.
Yep, and it's going to be more or less probably EMP as everybody kind of reacts to that. Or if people are insane enough to use HAARP on Yellowstone, it'll be something like that starts it, because we're so far beyond conventional and even nuclear exchanges at this point. They're unneeded. It's just going to be some kind of devastating chaos inducing event. It's what they're prepping everyone for, and then the clamps come down, and it won't be just here. People fool themselves if they're listening in other countries and think nothing will happen there. There's maybe a few really peaceful countries in the world where life will go on more or less like it has been, but anywhere with a large enough military will clamp down in the name of security.
Yeah, man, and I guess it's once again, it's up to us to put a stop to this stuff. And it's really going to be dictated by the public opinion. That's the only other superpower in the world besides when we talk about military stuff. And in the end, these governments and militaries should be answering to us. Right now, they're not, but that's because we're not asserting our power enough, because we have it. I mean, we have the enough population where we can overrun these people if we wanted a certain thing to be done a certain way.
Well, people need to be recalled. Like, for instance, whoever this guy or multiple people that signed this bill to put to a vote to split California into six states, they all need to be recalled immediately, right away. Because that's not serving anything that the people wanted at all. That's completely wilting to private interest. And it's probably foreign interest, and it's probably something that would indeed threaten our national security, our way of life, and even our individual livelihoods. Because if they're splitting things into six states, it's only to maneuver things for a corporate level, to siphon out resources, and to kill more jobs. That's what it's always about. And to break up the biggest, most populous state, one that – if we wanted, we could be the fourth largest economy in the world. I read that today. We're at that point now. We're hindered by being part of the union at this point.
Yeah, and what do we get from them? A bunch of debt. We don't get anything from the federal government at all, but a bunch of debt and a bunch of phony national security that we don't need. We get a bunch of drones flying over my house, basically, because I live so close to the border, and a shit ton of military presence around here, which is basically frightening. And I got helicopters flying over my house 10 times a day. I mean, this isn't freedom, man. We've lost touch with what freedom is. Matter of fact, I don't think this country has ever really known freedom, because a lot of the founders had no clue what the hell freedom was. I mean, a lot of these guys were slave owners and stuff. Most of this stuff's based on biblical, Abrahamic law, which in the Bible they own slaves. So no, this country, it was built with liberty in mind, but this country never really had true freedom for everybody. Yeah, some people may have been free. Women weren't free. Women couldn't vote. Women couldn't hold positions. I mean, voting doesn't solve anything, but still. It was only recently when people, women and minorities actually were recognized as full people. I mean,
right.
So,
the problem is, it's Jefferson more or less was this big fan, this big proponent of natural rights, but that only applied to white men. And then you had a guy like John Locke who never even threw race, creed, religion, or sex into it, but it was more of a biblical sense. We've never had a righteous, rational, natural law set. And we need to have that where it's, if you're a human being, if you're a soul placed into a human body, every single person has the exact same right to what we're going to make a social contract with, who we allow to lead us. And we have to get rid of governments and get back to leadership councils at more than a state level, at a community level. Because if you can't hold people accountable that live next door to you, then what does a guy care who's in Washington, D.C. and is surrounded by a citadel and you'll never touch him and can never threaten him? He doesn't need to answer to you anymore. And we're at that point.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're far beyond. We're full-on oligarchy at this point.
Oh, yeah. And it's proven. Everyone knows it. Even people from other countries know that now, and they're starting to cut their ties with us because on a whim, like they're threatening to do to anybody now who's connected with Putin, they'll just take your financial future and all of your labor and money you've earned or maybe siphoned from your own country. But regardless, they'll lock it up because they control the financial system just like they control the internet, and it all goes through here.
Yep. And hey, if anybody wants to call in, we got open lines tonight, so feel free to call us in here at the Anti-Media Radio. Let me grab the phone number for you guys real quick because I haven't memorized it yet. Let's see. It is 718-717-8296. Once again, it's 718-717-8296. Feel free to chime in. And if you guys want to talk about something that we're not talking about, we're going to jump into this Ukraine thing right now. Make sure you guys bookmark UCY.TV and check out all the other awesome hosts and journalists that are on here and guest speakers and all that stuff. I mean, Wednesday we're going to try to have a speaker from the United We Stand, some of the organizers from the United We Stand Festival, so they can give us a little more details about, you know, what's going on, why you should try to make it, especially if you're in the LA area, try to make it out to this event. It's only like less than $20.
I think it's $17.76.
Exactly, which is pretty symbolic. And you get to, we get to see all these awesome artists, anti-establishment artists, activists, thinkers, celebrities, all kinds of people. You know, who knows? And you do some networking, meet some cool people, and it should be a lot of fun. Now, I wanted to jump into this Ukraine thing. Like I said earlier, I wrote this scathing article about this just total serial hypocrisy that our government is trying to pull the wool in front of our eyes on this thing. And first off, I pulled up in this article a statement from the White House back from January. Basically, I'll just read this statement. And this is from the White House. And they were condemning the violence that the former Ukrainian regime was doing to these protesters. "We are deeply concerned by the violence taking place today on the streets of Kiev and urge all sides to immediately de-escalate the situation. The increasing tension in Ukraine is a direct consequence of the government failing to acknowledge the legitimate grievances of its people." Hey, that sounds kind of familiar to our situation. "Instead, it has moved to weaken the foundation of Ukraine's democracy by criminalizing peaceful protests and stripping civil society and political opponents of key democratic protections under the law. We urge the government of Ukraine to take steps that represent a better way forward for Ukraine, including repeal the anti-democratic legislation signed into law, withdrawing the riot police from downtown Kiev, and beginning a dialogue with the political opposition. From its first days, the Maidan movement has been defined by a spirit of nonviolence, and we support today's call by opposition political leaders to reestablish that principle. The U.S. will continue to consider additional steps, including sanctions, in response to the use of violence." So that was from January 19th, and that was when the Russian-aligned government was still in charge of Ukraine. Now, you fast forward to what's happening right now, and mind you, there's a full-on assault. We're talking about tanks, military guys, automatic weapons on what have become terrorists. They were being called pro-Russian activists or anti-Ukraine, anti-Western activists. And then all of a sudden, right before the killing started happening, right before the now U.S.-backed Ukrainian regime started killing these dudes off, the media all of a sudden changed their tone. They decided that, okay, well, now these guys aren't protesters. Now they're militants, separatists, militiamen, radicals, terrorists, and insurgents. And now it's okay to kill these guys. Okay, and so now we got a full-on military assault against these protesters. And I'll admit, some of them have taken up arms. A lot of them have taken up arms because they're trying to defend themselves. And, yeah, the Russians are meddling over there. But that's besides the point. We're talking about what our government is doing.
What happened in Odessa was just it speaks to the brutality of what probably is yet to come, where you have some guys that try to take over a central government building who are pro-Russian, and this is Odessa, mind you, which is southwest, and it's deep in the heart, and it's the biggest port, so to speak, of the Ukraine, or what
it's their
is
last port left.
Yeah, more or less. So these guys have infiltrated all the way in there, and they get stuck in a building. And what do the pro-Ukrainian Western-backed guys do? They block them in there. They block the fire engines. They set the building on fire and kill like 38 or 40 people in there and burn them to death.
Yep, they burn them alive, man. And it's
not Ukrainian people. These people are like, these are not us. We more or less are brothers with the Russians. Take us over, but more or less, like, if they annexed Ukraine, would there be a much opposition? Not so much, not from the people, because they're so close to them from a cultural level that they don't want a war. They understand they're going to get flattened by any conventional war with Russia, and they don't want it. And right now what you're seeing is a lot of provocateurism, and it's just setting the stage. And it's unfortunate that there's a lot of horrible atrocities going on now, and there's people getting stuck that have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, man, and you know, there was a small press release, and the U.S. government did condemn the catching these people on fire, although they didn't lay blame on anybody. But what Obama was saying today was that they're going to send billions of dollars to these guys anyways.
Yep, $17.1 billion over the course of several loans. Those loans are astronomical, and they basically come at the expense of the infrastructure, so they're going to get most of Western Ukraine in a Greek type of situation. But $17 billion is a lot, and it's probably really only a third of what they're really going to end up sending when all the military aid's thrown in too, because you're going to get billion-dollar packages of arms, and then armored vehicles are moving by the hundreds right now. We're basically unloading all of our old crap to Ukraine right now.
Yeah, man.
We're just giving it to them.
And really, really scary, especially considering that the U.S. economy, and let's face it, we're, what, $17 trillion in the hole now, and we're giving out a couple billion here and a couple billion there to these dictators all around the world. I mean, let's look at Ukraine. This is an unelected regime. These are just dictators, man. And we're over there saying, hey, we need to restore democracy. Well, then why are you supporting an unelected regime with billions of dollars worth of loans and worth of know-how and technology and intelligence and all this stuff. If you're trying to support democracy, these aren't democratic. Half of these guys are fascists.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially the ones that are by the border of Poland, they absolutely hate Russians, and probably for good reason, because all that harkens back to the Cold War, the Iron Curtain, and then, of course, World War II. And that stuff just doesn't die because your grandparents instill that in your parents, and your parents instill that in you, and you have this hatred for them. So it's just going to fragment this country. The West is going to break off. I mean, pretty much more or less the borders have already been drawn, and then now is just the theater of war. How do we set it up so we can have this proxy war? So Gazprom and then the Western oil guys, the oligarchs, are going to basically fight for oil fields and this rich, resource-filled territory. It's now up for grabs and it's open because obviously a coup took place and it worked.
Yeah, exactly, man. Hey, we got a caller on the line. How's it going? You're on the Anti-Media Radio.
What's up, man? It's Cassius.
Hey, how you doing tonight, man?
Pretty good, man. What you doing?
Oh, just going over this Ukraine stuff and how the U.S. is just taking the most hypocritical stand. I mean, it's almost as bad as what we did in Libya. You know, we just got done overthrowing the democratically elected government of Ukraine through covert means. And now we're trying to lay blame on Russia for destabilizing the region. That's basically where we're at.
Yep. So what recent developments have you been covering, unless you already said it on the show?
Well, man, I mean, the big story is that these the Western-backed Ukrainian regime is responsible for burning to death up to 40 activists on Friday. And this happened on Friday, and then just today, Obama came out and reassured that we were sending billions of dollars in aid to this same regime.
Man, here in Sacramento, there's a lot of Ukrainian and Russian immigrants. There's, like, actually in my neighborhood, a population of Ukrainians and Russians that's higher than almost anywhere in California and the U.S., really. So I was talking to some Ukrainians about it, and their family members witnessed those sniper attacks that happened, you know, and they know exactly what's up, man. They say that everyone in Ukraine knows pretty much what's going on, and they're pretty conscious of, you know, the Western-backed people and all the covert means that they're using.
Right, and I know also that they had gotten a massive gun control bill passed just before this happened, and they pretty much disarmed more or less everyone. So these people are now stuck until something major happens to just kind of watch. There's nothing they can do one way or another.
Yeah, personally, that Ukraine thing is one thing that I haven't looked into as much as other things. But aside from that, what else do you think has been going on recently that's worthy of incorporating to the big worldview, you know?
Well, here's the other thing, man, and it's kind of related to this whole thing in Ukraine. There was a video that came out today out of LiveLeak that showed these rebels igniting this gigantic bomb at a Syrian army outpost or something like that. And Obama, if I'm not mistaken, was just on video the other day saying that we're still supporting the moderate rebels in Syria. Now, unfortunately, I don't exactly know where the moderate part comes from, where these rebels are, but let's face it, these guys are Islamic extremists for the most part, and we're materially and financially supporting these guys, and they're butchering people. And there was another article I just saw where these guys are crucifying Christians. It's insane.
Yep. Well, yeah, these are the Chechens now, right, that are coming up, and they're in their whole jihad against Russia, so they'll fight anything. They'll fight anything that's attached to it.
Damn.
Exactly.
And they will, yeah. They're the worst kind of mercenaries that they, you know, that they're going to do these kind of atrocities. And if we know this, if the people in this country know this and figure this out and know that we're kind of in the way backing them, how can they go along with it? How many indignities are we going to suffer that we keep fighting the enemy and then feeding them in one hand?
Yeah, so we know what's up, and we've known what's up for a long time. The question now is, what should we do to solve the problem? And you know, I think that we should think about taking another step in activism that, you know, outdoes our previous efforts to make people aware of this stuff. And, you know, we should, you know, collectively speaking, keep advancing our forms of activism and refining our methods and truly coming up with solutions to all this instead of, you know, some people are just talking about it over and over and they're like, well, I guess we can't do anything, but I think there's many things we can do. We just got to be creative.
Exactly, man. And I think that's the big point that we want to get across is, you know, the struggle never stops. I mean, yeah, we may have stopped a full-on invasion with Syria, and that's one thing. But we're still financing these rebels that are killing people like crazy, you know? And so the anti-war movement can't take a break because the military-industrial complex never takes a break.
Right. And in a lot of ways, that the fact that we did stop Syria from happening full-blown, then it seems like they just moved on and then finally did crack the walnut with Ukraine, and it seems like it's almost in a way worse because now you're in this massive land theater of Eastern Europe where they're going to try to rewrite these boundaries now and try to grab resources left and right from countries stuck in the middle. And I know Putin will for sure try to get something back to the old Soviet Union if it gets down to it.
Yeah,
yeah, man, it's a world of knowledge.
Let's not forget that Putin is not a good guy. He is a very bad guy. And I see so many people of my friends that they're so fiercely anti-American intervention that they're actually kind of like praising Putin. But no, Putin's a bad guy,
no,
too.
Man.
He's just as bad, if not worse. than.
Well, he's going to try to reclaim all the puppet states. And these people were trying to slowly but surely go towards the West with more opportunity, so to speak, but he's not going to allow that to happen. You just, when things are on your border, you need to keep them in your sphere, so to speak, and he'll do anything to do it.
Yeah. The enemy of our enemy is still not our friend because they're the enemy of their citizens. I know many people that came from Russia and live in my neighborhood and firsthand experienced all that injustice that still exists in Russia. They told me that basically if a crime is committed, the government will, in order to look good, arrest anyone that, you know, for anything and claim they did the crime. And they often put innocent people in prison just to put like a lid on the investigation. They really, apparently, they just arrest whoever and there's barely any legal process. So it's surprising, or it's actually not surprising, that all these people I know from Russia are pretty much the same essential philosophical, you know, place that we're in. They know that a state is inherently going to be corrupt. They may not call themselves volunteers because they haven't heard the term, but, you know, they're pretty much on the same page.
Yeah, and I feel really bad for the immigrants that came to this country hoping to get some kind of freedom and stuff because it may have been true 20 years ago. You may have had a bit of more freedom, and at least economically and maybe religiously. But quickly we're sliding into this direction where not only is our economy gone to complete shit, and there's like no economic freedom, there's hardly any upward mobility. But now we're starting to get, because of the economy getting so bad, you got all these extreme right-wing groups that are starting to become racist and anti-immigration and you know, all this stuff. And it's just like a no-win situation because these people, and I hate to use the term, but the sheeple, they're getting radicalized by this crummy economy, and they're scapegoating the wrong people. They're blaming it on illegal immigration. Dude, it's Wall Street that's jacking your money, not the illegals.
They love to bag on welfare. They love to bag on welfare recipients, which, yeah, sure, there's a percentage that are the stereotypical kind that are the abusers, but I would say more than half of them at least use it legitimately, and they're in a place where minimum wage is like $5. And that's the only job they can get for whatever reason, and they need the food. And we have so much food that just rots inside of these silos, or the farmers are paid not to grow, that it's ridiculous to blame the downtrodden for a crappy economy because everyone with no skills is getting phased out. I hope the people that are right now in the southern redneck areas that are driving tractors for a living understand your job's going to be gone in 10 years. You're going to be right in that line.
Yeah, man, and my efforts will be continually focused on showing people that the only way out of this is to find an economic niche that they can fulfill, you know, like we do. We, you know, provide news to people. If people can just figure out that they can do more than work for other people in a hierarchical pyramid structure, that they can work for themselves, produce goods that everybody needs, and make their money through creative ways like that, I think that, you know, that's the future of this, that's the solution, and that's going to be more and more apparent with the more people that are successful, even in this time, by doing something independent, creative, and original that everybody needs, you know.
Yeah, and anytime we can, you know, get out of this corporate structure in any way possible, whether it's starting your own business, whether it's joining a co-op, whether it's doing a garden or buying food locally or whatever it is, supporting small businesses, indirectly, you're committing a form of civil disobedience and you're defunding this system, you know, and that's what we need to get to. The only way that we can stop these guys, if we're not trying to resort to violent means, which I'm not trying to do that because that's suicide, the only way to beat these guys is economically. And we defund the beast.
And the best way to do it is to decentralize, because they're trying to shift everyone into major mega cities, and people should move out. You know, if possible, if you have enough money, you know, it'd be possible for us to buy a building right now in Detroit and have a headquarters. You know, we could own one outright. I could buy up a building and then we could start a new business up there, and that would be like, you know, the old CBS headquarters or something of alternate media. So there's things to do. We can buy it up before these foreign powers buy it up and change the country forever.
In South Bend, Indiana, where I was born, right next to Gary in Detroit and Chicago, there's houses in my old neighborhood going for $1 apiece. You know, I could get one of those, and damn, man, exactly. We can do anything we put our mind to.
I have give the guy that lives that there, here's your house, grow food.
Huh?
I was just going to say, if I can buy a house for $1, I'll donate to a guy locally in the community with the provision that he grows food.
Hell yeah.
So it's your house, grow food.
Property taxes. And,
easy.
Yeah, man. So I think that a direction that activism should take now is, rather than opposing things, you know, like a march against Monsanto, I mean, that's productive too, but instead of just opposing things, I think we should hold rallies that are very positive and productive and educate people about the ideas of, you know, making your own business or practicing agorism or growing your own food, and that should be a major focus of activism. That's my opinion.
Exactly, man. Our only way out of this mess is to build our way out of it with a more just and equal system, right? And you know, the thing is that there's just so much uncertainty about all these different theories, and I got a million activist friends, and each one has a million different ways to fix the world. And the thing is, what we have to do is, we, like you were saying, yes, it's still good to spread the awareness and spread the info, but at the same time, we have to provide the solutions and prove that they can work, and also prove that they're better than this garbage that we're living in now, which shouldn't be very hard because we're living in an absolute oligarchy.
Yeah, I think it just takes, you know, some real putting the ideas into reality and action. And people like us who are already talking about it are surely going to progress on to actually doing it. And at that point, it'll be a whole other phase of this awakening, this revolution. It will really put in people's minds the fact that we can make things better and that we can put effort forth into, you know, solving all of this.
Yeah, man. Exactly. And now, while we're on this topic of defunding this beast, I got this story here that I wrote about today, and it's pretty big. Apparently, the IRS targets you and me, small business people, people that have regular jobs, people that make less than $25,000 a year. You have nearly a 5% chance of being audited by the IRS if you make between $0 and $25,000 a year. But if you're part of what they call an ELP, which is an electing large partnership, which is basically a giant corporation which is worth more than $100 million, basically you're guaranteed not to be audited, and there hasn't been one audit of an ELP since 2007, and we're talking pre-financial crisis here. So basically what these stats are showing us is that the IRS gets thrown at regular average Joes, and that these real billionaires that are the ones that are actually hiding their assets, that would actually pay a big chunk of taxes if they actually weren't hiding it overseas, these guys are basically safe. They don't get audited. Well, guess why? Because they're the ones putting all the lobbying money forth to create this huge, gigantic, illogical IRS. And it goes to show perfectly, because a guy like me, I haven't filed taxes in 3 years. I hope the IRS isn't listening right now, just because I don't know how the hell to do it. And I have no interest.
I'm never gonna figure that out.
And I don't really want to do it either. But I know sooner or later I'm going to have to do something, otherwise I'll end up going to prison. But anyway,
go to Mexico.
People like us get nailed with these audits, and these billionaires don't get touched. And it's just insane. It just goes to show how regressive the entire system really is.
Oh, man. That one article I wrote that wasn't really about anything but something that I came up with out of my own mind. I wrote this article on the anti-media, you know, about how we should put all this information that we know, you know, like every instance of the government being how we know it is, being an oligarchy, putting all these pieces of information on one site as like a complete encyclopedia of incidents, factual things we know to be true that history denies, you know, like the funding that took place during World War II, you know, Operation Northwood, stuff like that. I think that we should create an encyclopedia that is just full of all the knowledge that we accumulated through various sources to wake up ourselves into one place, so that people that don't want to put as much effort into waking up can just see it in one place. So that's just an idea I have.
Yeah, that sounds like pretty legit, actually. Make sure you guys go check that article out. Do you remember the title on it?
It's called something like The Crypto Library of All Truth or something like that. I forgot the exact title. It hasn't been posted yet, but it's been up for a few days. It hasn't been posted on the Facebook page. But yeah, man, I was thinking about it, and I just decided to write an article about it because I might want to put this idea into reality and start the site myself. And if not, maybe someone else will, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a good idea and a good place for people to go that are just starting to realize, hey, something ain't right. Well, go to this site, and then you'll start realizing why. To me, it sounds like a good idea. Make sure you guys get to the antimedia.org and check that out. Hey, Cassius, we're going to let you go so we can get a few more callers in here and get over this news. But thanks for calling in, man.
Yeah, for sure, bro. Take it easy.
All right, you too. All right, so if anybody else wants to call in and give us your 2 cents or talk about some news that we're overlooking or whatever, call us up, 718-717-8296. We have open lines, so we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. And let's move on a little bit here with this news. And I'm pretty sure that this kind of has to do with the internet and how people are starting to, you know, because, you know, these politicians have access to all these polling numbers. So it's not like this anti-intervention mindset that's taking over the country. And mind you, this is a mindset that it transcends both political parties. So there's a lot of Republicans and there's a lot of Democrats now that want to pull back from the foreign stage and try to focus on what the hell's going on here. But I got this article out of Tech Dirt, and we're working on our own version of it, hopefully for tomorrow. So this will be on the anti-media probably tomorrow, and it'll be on the Facebook page for sure. But basically, the government is getting ready to pass to get back to work on this driver's license, quote unquote driver's license of the internet. I don't know if you heard about this yet, Dave, but they mentioned it back in 2011 that they were going to try to make this basically this ID strategy where everybody's gonna have an official ID so that you can anytime you want to sign into anything, you can verify it through this basically government initiated driver's license for the internet. And it doesn't sound very good to me. And the timing of it, as this Tech Dirt article points out, is just terrible because of all this NSA stuff that is just broken. So now they're trying to cram this basically internet ID card down our throats. And this, to me, just doesn't make any sense.
I mean, I don't know. I guess they already got it anyway with your IP and stuff. the way you jump around is with the proxy, right? I mean, what are they going to do? There's a biometric point of entry. They're going to have to fingerprint you when you get on, or are you just going to have to enter some arbitrary code where I can attach some name? I mean, what can they do to identify you? Because you can just put a fake anything with a cable company and go down with a fake ID. Is it going to get to the point where everyone that's smart is going to have fake IDs now to have all their utilities and stuff in, and or fictitious business names so you can protect yourself from all this? Because it's not going to protect you. It's going to open you up to all the real hackers out there. They're going to know exactly who you are anytime.
So apparently the pilot program for this is going to be rolled out in Michigan and Pennsylvania, which are two very, very broken down states because the manufacturing has fled the country due to bad policy. And here's the other catch. The first tests appear to be exclusively aimed at accessing public programs like government assistance, which is not surprising at all. So basically they're going to cram this thing down on everybody that's on welfare, everybody that's on food stamps.
Yeah.
And well, the thing is that they're planning on basically all of us to be on that stuff. So
right.
it kind of makes sense that they'll do that first, because that's probably going to be the biggest demographic in this country in about 5 years. So yeah, they're already putting they're laying the stage for what I think to be this time that's coming soon, where they're going to really clamp down on things. And so it looks like they're going to, once they get everybody hooked on this government assistance, then they're going to stick you with this ID. And then if you do anything they don't like, guess what? Your ID doesn't work and you can't access food stamps. You can't access welfare. And that's then you're going to basically starve.
That's what they've said the whole time. This has been not even a thinly veiled threat. This is actually what they intend to do. And it rolls in with the care that becomes mandatory next year. Like I've been saying, January 1st, 2015 is when it'll tie in with your actual taxes, and then they'll just simply take it out of your taxes. They're not going to even ask you anymore. And then you can't possibly make too little for them to find a way to take a little bit out of something you make. They're just going to keep hacking away at everything you make to pay for all of these programs. And trust me, they're worthless. Any of these Medi-Cal programs, the waiting list is phenomenally long. And especially with 30 or 40 million more people to cram into these ERs, it's just going to be a nightmare. We're rapidly approaching third world country status.
Yeah, and you know,
it's only happening to people in blocks. That's the thing. It's not happening to everybody at one time, or there'd be an upheaval.
Yeah, and you know, there's one story that we forgot to talk about. And it came up a few weeks ago, and unfortunately John McCain kind of got behind this thing, which is kind of – which it probably only happened because it was politically convenient. But yeah, the VA, the Veterans Affairs in Arizona, was busted with this bogus waiting list, and 40 veterans died on this fake waiting list waiting for health care.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, and now the government wants to take over all of our health care, and they just let these 40 dudes die? I mean, it's insane. My buddy just got a double hernia, and he's on Medi-Cal, and now he's on a waiting list. He's not going to get helped anytime soon. I mean, who knows how long it's going to take for him to get his hernia surgery. I mean, it's just total insanity. The government's messing up more and more things. They bankrupted Social Security, and now we want to give them more authority. And now they want to.
That's what Obamacare is about. The Affordable Health Care Act is simply about replenishing the completely drained Social Security coffers so they can keep this Ponzi scheme going as long as it can. Because once it doesn't work anymore and stuff stops going out and checks stop going out, then there will actually be that upheaval, and they want to prolong it as long as possible so they can keep advancing their technology and keep clamping down harder and harder and harder. The quicker things get bad, the better, honestly. They're trying as hard as they can to prolong this system, and they will continue to go and fight and grab other countries and make them sacrificial lambs to keep this going as long as they possibly can. That's what Ukraine's all about.
Yeah, and it's sad that, you know, the everyday man in Ukraine, the everyday man, woman, and child in Ukraine is going to get the short end of the stick here. Because whether the West wins and it becomes a banking puppet state, or the East wins and it becomes a Russian strong arm resource state, or it gets broken up into pieces, guess what? The Ukrainian people are still going to be stuck with a ton of debt, a ton of casualties, a bunch of people dead, a bunch of women that are no longer going to have their husbands, and all the kids that are no longer going to have fathers. And what else are they gonna, what's the bright future they're looking forward to? A collapsed economy, which is on the verge, which is why we're sending bailout money right now, at this moment, to go bail out their economy, because their economy is about to implode. So, I mean, all signs are pointing to bad times for the Ukrainians. The only hope that they have is that we can get our government to back the hell out of there, and then probably the Russians are gonna take it over. Still, that's better than a civil war. Still sucks. But now here's the thing. Our only hope is that the Russian citizens, just like I hope that the U.S. citizens, wake the hell up and retake back what is rightfully theirs, which is the control over their own livelihoods and their own destiny. Because right now we're not in control of our own destiny, guys. We're being manipulated and controlled by a couple, maybe 2,000 dudes max, 85 if you want to look at the big numbers. And it's just that we just don't have any control over our country, and they've gotten so out of touch. The whole federal thing is just absolutely insane. And like you were saying earlier, man, I mean, I don't even want to go at the state level. I want to go back to the community level. I want to be in a community where we control our own fate and our own directions, and we fund our own schools and tell our community should tell our teachers what our kids need to learn. Because guess what? A community knows what a community needs. The federal government has no effing clue what I need right here in San Diego. They just don't.
That's absolutely correct. They live in their own more or less district that is a city state, and they don't need to apply to the laws. I mean, for God forbid, people didn't know that you can smoke marijuana legally in Washington, D.C. now. How hilariously ironic is that? And that's to protect, the elite class from getting, tangled up in the law enforcement. That's actually for the chattel. That's not for the elites. So they made sure that district was protected. I'm sure prostitution is going to be legal there soon too, if you know what I mean. But, that's what we need to do, man. Just break it down to a very leadership council type of level on an individual level. And if we need to break up on a state level and just keep a kind of unified national security force just to keep our sanctity intact, I guess we can do that. But as far as having one place on the East Coast control everything, including Alaska and Hawaii and all these satellite things everywhere, it's just too much, and it's really bad now.
Yeah, and don't forget that in 2013, Washington, D.C. became the richest city in the country. They have the highest income per capita now because look who lives there. All the damn lobbyists, all the bureaucrats, all the politicians, all the corporate insiders. So I mean, they've become what the capital is in that damn movie. What the hell is it called? Hunger Games. I mean, it's like the same thing. It's like a whole country full of destitute, torn down communities that are empty. Like Cassius said, when he called in, the community where he was born, they're selling houses for a damn dollar. What the hell is that?
And that's a good thing, because listen, with BLM doing land grabs and really the only way to stop it being armed resistance, which eventually will escalate into something insane, it's better that we just as citizens go. And while we've been talking, I've been looking around on here and looking at dollar homes, and yeah, they exist. Then they have like $500 in back taxes, but still, you can conceivably buy a home for $500. I mean, it's possible to just drop some money and buy back America and own it back from these banks. The property value is going to go back up. People need to just move back into these communities, own a home. Can you imagine what your property tax is on something you bought for $500?
Oh,
man. It's like $15 a year or something. I mean, I can grow in one day, I can grow enough food to pay that off. It'd be something to give to somebody and say, hey, this is your house. Just pay the property tax. Please don't get thrown out. My donation to you.
I mean, that's what we need to do, man, is that these people that for now still have a bit of change in their bank accounts, or hopefully not in their bank accounts, to open up and help out your community, man. Because if not, man, we're going to be all faced with this tough, tough decisions. And it's going to get to a point where there is no middle class. We're almost to that point now. The middle class is all but gone. I mean, we're almost all poor now.
The only middle class that's going to come out of this is going to be guys that own homes with 3D printers that grow their own food and have solar panels. And that's going to be it. Everybody else is either going to be a complete corporate lackey, soulless slave, or at the top.
Yeah, and we're all going to be stuck with this damn internet IDs getting our food stamps from the government, you know, which
right.
is which
unless
is
you grow
scary.
Your own food and you use the extranet or whatever the hell we invent that goes on our own drones or our own whatever's the servers that bounce around. Who knows? Well, there's always going to come a time when they come up with something so oppressive we need to get around it, and we will.
Yeah, and that was a great point you made earlier, that in a way, it's kind of like the worse things get, the better it is, because the more people are going to wake the hell up and snap out of this hypnosis that we're all, this television-induced hypnosis that most people are unfortunately living in, this whole fantasy land thing.
But it's cracking, because I had a friend that was a staunch Obama supporter, staunch Democrat, working guy, college degree, accountant, all the whole nine yards, making a decent living, went out of the country and said, man, I didn't want to come back. I felt like it was real life again, like the real world, like people enjoyed themselves, like the priority was living. It wasn't this grind, and I didn't feel like I was part of this cog in a machine, and I was soulless. And he's like, man, I kind of want to like grab a place down there and go see if I can live there. I was like, well, hey, if you're in the right spots, it's fine. You just got to be selective where you go. But there will be that brain drain. You're going to see a capital drain as people realize what this cost is going to be on them and their families, because it could very well be an awful experience to go down with the ship here if we can't right it very soon.
Yeah. And now here's the other thing that is kind of important here, and like you were saying, we need our own internet, extranet, or whatever we're going to call it, because what's known as the dark net or Tor that a lot of people like to use that think they're off the radar, unfortunately, according to a report that I saw today from our friends at Revolution News, Tor is a creation of the U.S. government, unfortunately. And so are all these other quote-unquote NSA-proof utilities and apps and all these things, add-ons and all this stuff that are supposed to get you around the NSA and encrypt your data and all this stuff. Well, yeah, maybe it does encrypt your data. But unfortunately, this stuff is basically funded by the same dudes that are spying on us. And it's all documented.
And then all those keystrokes that you logged searching for things are going to show up and incriminate you. That's why it was better to use forums this whole time. So it didn't look like you were abjectly searching for things and then ripping them. As I've told people forever, when you incriminate yourself, it's easy to put you away, and that's what the whole game is going to be about.
Oh yeah, and then the more and more I think about it, man, it's like they're purposely baiting us into finding out, okay, who's the person that's going to question the official story, because they don't want people questioning the official story. So what they do with these things like the whole with 9/11. Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, all this stuff where there's all these just discrepancies where anyone with any common sense and any reasonable researching skills can say, hey, wait a second. How did Building 7 fall down without being hit by a plane? You know, it's these common sense questions that they leave wide open. And anyone that would say, hey, why would they demolish the Sandy Hook school? They've never done that before. Or why did the FBI why was the FBI in contact with these Tsarnaev brothers that supposedly blew up this Boston Marathon? Anyone that's questioning that kind of stuff, guess what, dude? You're on a database now. You're on the list. And in my opinion, I think they're purposely putting these discrepancies out and these holes in these stories and these just total media flops and these total messed up stories that these guys put out there. They do it on purpose. They're not making mistakes.
That's okay, if they want to find out who's operating on a higher frequency level, because that's somebody's enemy that's trying to keep it down at a lower one through negativity and fear and trying to locate one's enemy. Well, guess what? It's spreading. How many enemies? What are you going to do? Half of the world? The whole world? There's a paradigm shift going on. It's a consciousness shift. Everybody's having it right now. Anybody's having it right now, and there's not a way to stop this. You can't kill an idea. You can't kill a consciousness shift. When enough people know enough things, the 100th monkey effect is exponential. There's no amount of propaganda that will counteract when enough people know enough things. You can't do anything about it. All you can do is just start a war and hope enough people will perish and enough craziness happens that people will go to any form of order. But I just don't think it will work now. I think Putin, in a weird way, because he didn't go along with the whole plan, made this new stalemate, and a Cold War in effect is better than a war and a hot war, a nuclear war, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
man.
So it's awful for the people in the Ukraine, but in a weird way, maybe they were like martyrs because they kind of stemmed off this total global phenomenon taking place and gave everybody time to wake up.
Yeah, and it, you know, the thing is that all of this propaganda and stuff, it's all based on this science that, you know, on this paper textbook science that was pioneered by Sigmund Freud and the likes back at the turn of the century. It was used to get us into World War I, and then it was used by the Nazis to do what they did in Germany with World War II. And now these guys have this science, but all they have is what's on paper. They don't take into consideration the subconscious communications that go on between every human. When you walk by people in the street, you're talking to people without saying a word, whether it's through body language or just subconsciously through your mental communication, which unfortunately –
hormones too. If you're angry, you put off something and it will attract that itself. You ever been in an angry mood and then – I don't know. Even if road rage takes you over, you'll attract somebody in an equally angry mood and maybe just have an exchange. It's happened to me before. I've been in a negative mood and somebody would – you know, say something, I yell back. When you're in a positive mood, the same thing happens. When you're in a positive mood, you're like a magnet to people and they want to be around you. You have like this different energy. So it's things that are happening that you cannot stop. It's a physiology that took billions of years to perfect, and humanity in the scientific method of 150 years is not going to overtake billions of years of nature, no matter how hard they try, how many quantum computing algorithms they use, and how many games they play with everybody, because they know everything about everything and they've simulated it a million times, but things are always changing. That's the thing. Anytime a decision's made, the future changes and a different path's created.
Exactly.
And they simply can't predict everything. That's the beauty of it.
And when they try to use these, you know, solid scientific methods on us, which, let's face it, I mean, yeah, they've got some good science, some good psychology, Sigmund Freud, you know, Bernays and all these guys. Yeah, they laid the foundation for psychology. But here's the thing. Just like with these GMOs where they were made to kill off these bugs and now the bugs are overcoming these GMOs because they've gained resistance, guess what? We're gaining resistance to all this bullshit propaganda. And now when people see shit on TV, they know it's BS. When the Sandy Hook thing happened, I don't know if you saw the Google trending, the Google trending searches or whatever, but right after Sandy Hook, the term false flag took a huge spike and everybody was looking up, "Hey, what's a false flag?" I have a feeling that something weird is going on. And you know, they can't predict all this stuff. And even if they can, even if they try, there's still going to be a reaction, and the more they try to control it, the more ways we're going to come up with to overcome the censorship, overcome whatever it is that they're trying to do, the violence, the police oppression, the beating people in the streets, the foreign policy, the spying, the NSA, whatever it is that these idiots are doing, there's going to be a reaction, and it's going to hurt them more than it hurts us. It may hurt us in the short term, but our ideas will end up overcoming.
Yeah, and the thing is, they always say it's on the precipice of something changing, and it gets closer and closer every day, and they get more and more desperate every day. And people that had no interest at all in any of this stuff, even like a year ago, now are fully understanding of what's going on. They're saying, man, I'm kind of freaked out. I'm kind of scared about what's going on. I understand that people who are unelected are controlling the things and have been controlling the things for thousands of years. They've dived into it and they understand the realness of it. You can follow the money all the way back, and it's easy to do it. And you can follow the bloodlines all the way back. And people know now that like everything's been controlled and manipulated, and it's time to break free of the bonds. But enough people need to want to do it. It's going to be a scary future because we don't know what it'll be. We've used this system forever and it's worked. People have been happy in bondage, but they have to understand our full potential can never be reached if only a few of us are at the peak. There's just not enough of them to make these quantum leaps. That's the idea. What
happened with everything? Sorry, I don't know what that was. Is that you?
Yes.
Is that you?
No, that's not me.
Okay.
That happened in the other one last time too, though.
I have no clue what that was, but
that's the automatic insta-cue.
Looks like we're coming to the end of our show here, guys. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure you catch us on Wednesday. We're going to have some special guests from the United We Stand Festival. If you guys are in LA, make sure you check that out. It's going to be huge, and it's going to be on Saturday. And we got the March Against Monsanto coming up. We'll talk about that on the next show. And bookmark us here on UCY and check back with us Friday as well. Go through the stereo. Yo, here we go. Go through the stereo.